The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What's going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 234. I'm your host, Tony Polacco, and I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
And Brian Manjoma.
What's up, people?
What's going on, peoples? Indeed. All right, Adam's watching pay-per-view or something, some wrestling things going on. I thought those things were on Saturday, man.
No, they're on Sunday.
Oh, they're on Sunday?
Oh, interesting.
They're always on Sunday.
Yeah.
WrestleMania and all that is always on Sunday.
So that's going on. Brett has some personal stuff, you know, we're not going to get into, so he couldn't make it. So you're stuck with us tonight, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know? All right. Since we just kind of did a cold opening, we're going to fluff it up a little bit with important stuff. Manny, we got a contest going on, don't we, man?
Yes, we do.
What are we giving away, man? We're giving away stuff on Throwdown.
A copy of Excellence number one, which is special with a special cover that I did for a comic store called One Stop Stop Comics, which is there's only like a few of these left, and we're giving that away signed, as well as a really awesome poster of our main character Spencer, and good stuff.
Nice. Hey, yo, man, I read the book last night.
Oh.
Yeah, very interesting world you guys have going on. Like obviously it's the first issue. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of stuff's answered, but I could tell, like, I guess it's like the real world, but there's a lot of deeper stuff underneath it that normal people don't know about.
Yep.
Kind of one of those deals.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. And in that first issue, Brendan does a lot of, like, it feels not like The Watchmen, but it has a bit of that feel where they give you a lot of other information that's not exactly, you know, sequential information, where they give you how the hierarchy works. There's some really nice graphical things. Everybody on this book is like just working at like 11. Like, we have our graphic designer who also designed our text. He also designed all those little graphic elements that appear within the book, as well as the language that the Aegis use in the thing. Our letterer is really awesome. We're all just kind of like adding little things to it, which is really great.
Yeah, I also like the fact that it took me like 20 minutes to read it, because normal comics, like 5 minutes, you're done. You know, there's a lot of words in there, which I like.
This was something Brendan really wanted to do, and he has a lot to say inside of there. So it's got a good amount of words and stuff. And the book was also, I think it's a double sized issue, 30 pages, I think, as I remember.
Oh, no wonder it took me so long to read.
Yeah, it's a little bit longer than a normal book. I don't see.
Yeah, because again, modern comics, man, you just run through them. It's ridiculous. I'm like, yo, I'm here to read stuff. You know,
yeah.
It's essentially just a bunch of pictures and that's it.
The other thing about at least this first issue, there's absolutely no ads inside of it as well.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't know that, because I got it off Comixology. They never have the ads on those.
Yeah, but okay, from beginning to end, there's absolutely no ads inside of it. You know, I don't even think there's a Skybound ad in it, I think.
Oh, so they don't have any ads to, like, you know, get muscle so you get the girl at the beach. You don't have
no. From front to back,
absolutely. Those are the ads I remember, man.
They need them X-ray specs.
Exactly. Nope. Yeah, the X-ray specs. They got ads for those, man.
So from front to back, it's all full, you know, thing. I'm not exactly sure if that's going to be the same for all the issues, but at least the first issue one is like that, just front to back, just comic and just, you know, development stuff.
Yeah. See, Sketch knows. He goes, kick the sand on the nerd you used to be.
Exactly.
Oh, man. All right. Oh, damn. Shout out to the Throwdown fans, man. You guys are already showing up.
Yo, man. How many strong are we?
Well, right now we're 8, which is usually what we have at the very beginning, which is good because, again, we just did a cold opening today.
Mm-hmm.
But they know what's up, man. You know what time it is. Throwdown time. Throw out your questions. Time. All right. Let's move on. Again, completely off topic, but I have to say, I'm so glad my face is symmetrical because I'm backwards right now, people. But I'm like, I don't look much different, you know? Like, imagine if I was all twisted and fucked up. You know, that would be like, yo, what's up? Who's that guy hosting? He sounds like Tony. You don't look like him, though. Yo, by the way, guys, if you spoil Game of Thrones, man, I'm going to go over there, slap the shit out of everybody, man. I'll come over there, man. I'll come over there. All right. Sketch, man, you crazy. All right. First up, and I threw this to the top of the pile. I was talking to Chris about this question yesterday. Mm-hmm. So he calls himself Johnny the Truth Teller. This is John Weldman, the big Xbox guy. Mm-hmm. So here's his question. Now, obviously, we're all going to jump in, but I want Chris to lead us off with this one. All right. So his question is, with Microsoft being worth $1 trillion and Sony only being worth $58 billion, will Sony be able to compete with Microsoft next generation? Let's face it, guys. Microsoft has finally woken up and decided to take gaming seriously. That's bad news for Sony. Chris, man, go ahead.
Let me turn on screen share.
Uh-oh.
What? It only took them, like, what, 3 or 4 generations to take shit seriously? Or what's going on here?
Yeah, all right. Chris breaking with the facts right now, son. Yeah.
So what he's talking about in the first part of the question is called market cap or market capitalization. That is your stock price multiplied by the number of outstanding shares that the company has. So right now, as of late Friday, whenever trading closed, the market cap for Microsoft was at $981.38 billion, not $1 trillion. It may have been it may have hit that at one point, but we're talking about stock prices, which change every single day. Like if Microsoft stock was to drop 30 or 40%, it would only be worth maybe $600 billion, not $1 trillion. So you can't use this to gauge revenue. That's what you're conflating revenue with market cap. All right, so I'll show you. And he was talking about Sony's stock price. Yeah. This is why you can't use this. This was close of trading. The market cap for Sony is $66.88 billion, not $58 billion. See how that works?
Yeah.
It fluctuates with stock price. If Sony were to release something miraculous tomorrow, their stock price would shoot up and their market cap would also shoot up, right? It would be double or triple, quadruple your market cap. That's happened. Apple has it happen constantly. Apple actually has higher market cap than Microsoft. So but you can't use this to base it on how much can you reinvest into research and development on products. This is not what that is. This is just stock valuation. What you have to look at is revenue, right? And your operating income. You have to look at this. So these are the financial statements that I do on the show. As of the last report, which was Microsoft's Q3 report, they have a roughly $30.57 billion in revenue, not $1 trillion. This is for their entire company. This is a company that has, let's list all the things that Microsoft has going on, because see, Xbox is at the bottom of this list. This isn't in alphabetical order either.
Damn.
Notice where this is at the bottom. They have Office commercial products, Office 365, Office consumer, LinkedIn, Dynamics products and cloud services, Dynamics 365, I've never even heard of that, server products and cloud services, Azure, Enterprise, Windows OEM, Windows Commercial, search advertising, which is Bing, Surface, gaming, and then Xbox software and services. So this is Microsoft in a nutshell. It's comprised of all of these different things. They make tons of revenue off of things like, look at Azure, look at the percent change year over year in Azure, 73%. And now they're going to get they're going to get Sony as a client on Azure, right? Because Azure is running Xbox Live. Sony wants to remain competitive in the network services, but they don't want to spend their own money building infrastructure. So what are they going to use? They used AWS. AWS got too expensive for them. Maybe it's not doing what they needed to do. So they're moving over to Microsoft stuff. So they're going to pay Microsoft for that stuff. Sure. It's not a deal where all of a sudden they're going to unify their gaming platforms or whatever. It's just a business deal with a whole other branch of Microsoft. But other than that, what a company has to spend, they cannot spend their total annual revenue on stuff, right? So Microsoft can't turn around and go, gee, we have $30 billion. Let's spend it on Xbox. No, that's not how that works. You have operating income, and your operating income covers all sorts of things. Your company has to have a certain amount of revenue left in case everything goes belly up. If your company goes south, you have to pay people's pensions. You have to sell real estate. You have to get rid of all your products. You have to be able to still support all your employees. So you cannot just spend all that money on products and product research and manufacturing. You can't do that. So what you do is you budget that, which is here, your operating income. They budget a third of it. That makes sense. So two-thirds of it is still liquid, that it has valuation, and then you spend a third of it, and that goes towards everything. That goes towards Windows development, Office development, whatever Dynamics is, server support, Azure, and some of it goes to Xbox, right? But you don't have $1 trillion to spend. No one does. Not even Apple has that money to spend. You cannot look at market cap and say, oh my God, Microsoft has all this money. No, they don't. That money could disappear tomorrow. If their stock plummeted, if it crashed like some other stocks do, they would lose that valuation immediately. You know, it could go from $1 trillion to maybe 20 million in a single day, because we don't have breaks like the Nikkei does. The New York Stock Exchange, if something crashes, it just goes. It free falls. It's free market. So you can't look at that as spending revenue. You can't look at that as operating income. So that is how companies budget and spend money. So going into the, like you said, going into the future. So Microsoft and Sony have about the same operating income. If you just look at their financial statements, so here's Sony's. Let's
them facts.
This is in yen. Yeah, this is in yen, but let me go. I know I broke this down earlier, but I don't have my spreadsheet open. So in fiscal year, this is in millions of yen. So you have, I don't know, 894.2 billion yen as operating income. Yen to dollar.
Yes, the conversions. By the way, this goes to show just how ignorant some of these fanboys are, because you're breaking all this shit down, you know?
Yeah, so Sony, in this report, their operating income was over 8 billion. So a little under Microsoft, but not by much. It took a difference of less than $2 billion.
Damn.
So what does that mean? What does that mean for Xbox and PlayStation, who have to divvy up that money between all of Sony's other products and all of Microsoft's other products? They only get a small piece of that pie for development. So that it's a minute difference, and it's meaningless. They have almost a level playing field when it comes to that. Sony could budget as much for PlayStation, which, by the way, is the biggest money maker they have. I showed that in their financial report. PlayStation brings in the most money. It brings in a quarter of their revenue. Xbox can't say the same. Azure brings in more of their revenue and their enterprise and support for Windows. So who do you think is getting more money?
And the way that chart is set up, it's set off by the things that make the most revenue, right? The one on the Microsoft one.
Oh, this chart here.
Yeah, the one where it had the list of all the Microsoft.
It was like
yeah, yeah.
Of the Microsoft.
Yes,
thing.
Yes. This is set off. So I mean.
Yeah, it's not in alphabetical order. It's just in order.
Yeah. See, it says selected products and service revenue currency consolidation. So,
that means that LinkedIn makes more than the Xbox division.
Yes. I mean, like the only thing that probably made less than Xbox is their mobile, which is not listed on here. They're probably done with that. They got rid of that stuff.
Yeah. So there you go, Mr. Johnny Wellman. I hope you would learn something tonight, dude.
Listen, number one, Johnny, this is not like, you know, we're not like trying to make this personal or anything like that. We're just using this is the information that's out there for you. And I know it sounds like, you know, when you hear these big numbers, you're like, oh, man, that's going to be, you know, all this great stuff. But you also but just like Chris said, you have to look into the operation costs and what they're going to be doing with that. And that's the real number, as opposed to this kind of extravagant number.
Yeah.
That is not finite. It doesn't stay the same.
All right. There you go, man. Chris, thank you for the charts as always, man.
Yes, sure.
All right. No, it's me again. All right. Fuck are we right now? Black Metal Gamer, who's actually joining us. Actually, hold on. Before we go on, man, I got to give some shout-outs real quick. We got my man K-Cube in the house. He said he's finally able to watch us live, so nice. Appreciate that, brother. You know, I talk to K-Cube all the time. Sonia, you know, Sonia Wins. Shout out to her. She just gave us, there you go. She just gave us 100 bits. Appreciate that. Solitary Zombie, of course, holding it down, you know, making sure nobody gets too out of hand. Black Metal Gamer, Carlos in there. Where's Barry, man? I don't see him yet. He'll show up. And Sketch. I can't forget about Sketch. All right, let's move on. Where the fuck are we? Black Metal Gamer, first question. This is an interesting one. What 90s comedy cartoon or TV show would you like to see made into a funny JRPG style, stylized turn-based game like South Park? It's a weird one.
Well, he's into turn-based games, right?
He likes them, you know. But he's also into, you know, 90s stuff. But I don't know, man. I don't really play comedy games, to be honest. It's not really a thing, and it's like, why, you know? And I don't even feel like what happened.
Oh no, I was just gonna say like. One of the things that like I would like to see is like a Beavis and Butthead kind of thing, like they did with Stick of Truth.
That could work, I guess. Mm-hmm. Oh, he says it's stylized, right? Yeah, okay, cartoon, yeah. Because I was gonna be like, yo, Married with Children.
No, it isn't. Married with Children. Talking about animation and stuff like that.
Ow, I mean, let's have sex. No pig.
It's funny because like the reason why they made an RPG is not because Ubisoft said they wanted to do it. It's actually because of the guys who make South Park. They're like, yeah, make it a turn-based RPG. We love those. It's like, wow, like you guys decided to make this into this kind of genre of games that doesn't really exist that much these days. I mean, you can count it on your fingers how many turn-based RPGs are out.
Yeah. By the way, we're getting some love for Ren and Stimpy. I like that.
Oh, interesting.
Ren and Stimpy. I mean, yeah, sure. You know, you can kind of convert. I mean, being that you're kind of you kind of have it like kind of canned things, you could probably do a lot of the stuff. You can just kind of draw in from a lot of different, you know, things from the different shows, you know, and not the adult party one. That was a piece of junk.
Oh man. I'm thinking about all the crazy stuff they're going to have Ren and Stimpy doing. I wonder if they could get away with that in this day and age.
It was controversial even then, but
it
now,
was. I mean, and especially like the later, you know, I'm talking about, remember when they brought back Ren and Stimpy like 10 years ago went ham on the sexual stuff.
That one was when they got the guy back, John Chris Felucci, to come back and do the show, and they're like, yeah, you could do anything you want. Obviously it didn't work out that way because it's like he was just not pulling punches, which is that's not what people wanted. What you did originally, we didn't want this nutty shit that you just made. In fact, it was so bad that the original voice of Stimpy said, fuck this, I ain't doing it, it's horrible.
Damn,
he's not even in it. It's the sound alike.
Yeah. Damn, what other cartoons do you guys want to see made into a funny video game? Comedy cartoons specifically.
Comedy cartoons?
Actually, no. He says and TV shows, so it could be anything. It could be, you know, Martin. You know, it could be that. You know.
Oh shit.
Gina.
Rocko's Modern Life.
Hey, there you go.
Angry Beavers.
you just you know, name every single thing was out on.
Butthead would be kind of fun though.
I mean, like it's like. Because, like, all of those shows, like, I'm still nostalgic about them. So it'd just be interesting not to see all of them sort of revitalized in a way.
Yeah.
So just the normal, and it doesn't matter what kind of game, it has to be a turn-based game.
Turn-based.
Yeah, that's the only stipulation.
I would say a good fit would be Invader Zim, actually.
Was that from the 90s?
I think it was, like,
it was in the 90s.
Mid to late 90s, maybe?
Yeah. Oh. I'd say Invader Zim would work.
Okay.
You can do a lot of voice acting with the guy who played Zim.
Futurama could work, yeah.
Futurama is 90s?
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Isn't it?
Yeah, the original one, not the
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the original one. Yeah, yeah. Right. I've never seen a single episode of the new one. I've only seen the old ones.
They're not bad. The original ones are much better, though.
Yeah.
I'd say I'd like to see The Tick. Crazy characters, man.
Yeah, Tick was awesome. They need to bring that back. I know they have the live action, but nobody wants to see that.
They canceled it anyway, so Amazon. I watched the first episode. It wasn't very good.
I saw the Tick that they had it on like 10 years ago. That was bad too. The one with
the Patrick Warburton.
That was terrible. I was like, bring the cartoon back, man. Let me look. What you guys saying here? They just canceled Tick for obvious reasons. Seinfeld, that'd be interesting.
Ooh. Seinfeld the RPG.
Sonya Max doesn't count. That wasn't a comedy, unless you know you had a weird sense of humor. You know, Tick cartoon was awesome. What's going on, Mighty Nerd?
I wonder if they do a Seinfeld one. I wonder if they're ready for that Kramer comeback.
Kramer would probably not be voiced by the guy who played Kramer.
On this episode, Kramer does stand up.
Man.
Yo, Brian, get in here, man. Name some British stuff, man. What were you watching back then?
Doctor Who, probably.
He's probably watching Danger Mouse and Count Duckula.
No, I actually never seen them.
What?
My first thought was kind of a weird one. It was Columbo. I don't know why, but I think that
Columbo. That's from the 70s, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's actually a long-running series. It's actually run to the early 2000s, to believe it or not.
What the fuck?
I don't think you can count that, though.
Like, no, you can't. It's got to be a comedy.
Started in the late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
And my thought after that was this TV show called Hilly Spies. If anyone knows what that show is, then all props to you. If you don't, it's pretty much Charlie's Angels, but for the new generation.
Oh, yeah, I know that show. That was on Cartoon Network. I know that show, yeah.
What was it called?
Fun.
Totally Spies.
Tony Spies?
Totally.
Yeah, it was a Canadian animation.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was like a TV show with female leads.
Yeah.
Three of them as well, you know.
Oh, my God.
Well, sorry.
So progressive, Brian.
Sorry, it was in an altered universe where we had female leads before Captain Marvel, because we all know that Captain Marvel is like the first female lead. Sorry.
Oh, man.
I've never seen this show.
Yeah, it was on all the time.
It was good.
Hey, what's going on? A Syriana Air Force. They say first time watching live on Twitch. Awesome.
Nice.
It's hard reading that name on that font, huh?
Yeah, it kind of is, yeah.
The color. It's like, I'm trying to read it too. I'm like, oh, what does it say?
But I like the name, though. Sketch says Ed and Eddie. Yeah,
that could work. I have another one.
Go ahead.
I have Gargoyles.
Well, that's not a comedy, though. Not a comedy.
Ah, shit.
It's got to be a comedy.
It could be funny sometimes.
Sometimes.
I was laughing.
Yeah. Oh, here's a good one. Because it can't be just a comedy show, too. In Living Color, they can't get away with that shit anymore.
They can't do that shit. Yeah, you know,
Mo Buddy.
Oh,
you remember Men Talking Sports?
Welcome to Men on Films.
Yeah, Men on Films, Men on Sports.
Men on Sports.
You can't do that shit. Shouldn't do that.
Sorry.
With Little Robert Downey Jr.'s. Oh, you can't get away with that shit now, man. Oh, I love that fucking show. When Chappelle was on, I was like, this is the modern version of In Living Color, man. But it was rawer, you know? Totally Spies is getting some love. What's going on, D-Walk? D-Walk 74, I think he might be the oldest person in here. Makes me feel young now, man.
Yo, Brian, have you ever seen Martin Mystery? That was made by the same studio.
Doesn't ring a bell too much.
Okay, it's kind of like Totally. It's like X-Files. It's like Totally Spies is Teen Charlie's Angels. Martin Mystery's Teen X-Files.
By the way, I'm laughing because he's talking about Men on Books. I remember that skit too. Remember when the guy got hit on the head and he turned straight?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Ooh. Can't do that now. Sorry.
Oh, man. It's raining, man. All right.
Can we technically count 90s X-Men?
That's not a comedy.
Not a comedy.
It had funny parts in it.
that's like saying Gargoyles. No.
Yeah.
You would say something like Freakazoid.
Yeah.
That would be
Imagine Living Color game. Sonya said it. Head Detective. Man, you can't get away with that either. That's ableist.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Shit.
Oh man! All right.
Didn't the guy who played Dorf pass away pretty recently?
Did he? Oh man!
Oh, Tim Conway.
Tim Conway. Yeah, he did. He did. That's right.
I was gonna do a post on that, but I kind of just said no. I guess I better not do that one because if people think that would be horrible.
Yeah. All right, man. Let's move on.
Wait, go ahead, Brian. The Office one. Powerpuff Girls.
That's not a comedy.
No, it is a comedy.
Yeah, it's a comedy.
It's a comedy? I thought it was a superhero show. That's the way I saw it.
It is a superhero show, but it was silly.
Oh.
Funny.
Right. Sure enough. If you guys are saying it's a comedy. I've seen some episodes. It didn't seem funny to me. I thought it was a cool superhero show.
Powerpuff Girls, I don't think that was 90s. I think it was 2000s, wasn't it?
I don't know. Probably 2000s. Yeah,
you could probably
start in 2000s, early 2000s. Oh, nope. Started 98.
It counts.
It's a cartoon. You remember
that? Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So that includes. You could probably also put in Dexter's Lab, or you can put in.
Well, Dexter's Lab that wasn't a comedy, was it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. What about Robot Chicken?
No, that is a comedy. But
that's a comedy.
That's a comedy for sure. I must have been watching these shows wrong because I used to watch Dexter's Lab. It never seemed funny to me. Oh well.
No, it's supposed to be funny. It's supposed to be funny. It's not really supposed to be.
It wasn't serious either. It was like, hey, you know, some cool, you know, stuff is going on. I guess it could be a comedy. I don't know. All right.
Most kids shows are comedies.
Yeah, I think that's what it is, man. Yeah, because to me, I'm like, that's a kids show. It's not a comedy. But you're right. Kids shows are comedies, kind of by default, aren't they? I always just made a distinction. I'm like, yeah, the Powerpuff Girls. Dexter's Lab kid shows, and then comedy shows are comedy shows. I don't know. All right, moving on. I wish Brett was here for this one. Okay, by the way, before I even go on with this, has anybody on the panel played an Elder Scrolls game or is familiar with that world?
I guess.
Yes.
I play Skyrim.
Okay, that's right. I'm going to ask it because Brett is more knowledgeable. Okay, when we get Elder Scrolls 6, in what part of the in-game world would you like this it to be set in?
Oh, okay. So either one of the two worlds, you know, the ones from the previous, the first one, Oblivion, and all those other ones.
Yeah, yeah.
To be honest, I would actually think it'd be a cool idea if they somehow managed to connect all of them together.
Hmm.
Because because Skyrim is supposed to be on the other side of the other, you know, the world where the other one is, where whatever the one that takes
Morrowind.
Morrowind is, yeah.
Yeah. That would be a huge map. That might be ridiculous.
That would be pretty awesome, though. either that or, you know, maybe make another world. Like, you know, take on, I mean, granted, like, if they go too far away.
Well, he specifically wants, you know, one of the pre-existing ones.
I mean, the last Elder Scrolls game, you know, wasn't like the previous one. So, I mean, if anything, if they're going to make a new one, they're probably going to make a new world for it, right?
Or maybe he means, like, a land that has been already talked about, but you've never been to before.
Oh, now that is one I don't have any familiarity.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, this.
Brett is the only one that probably.
Yeah, he would probably know that, but I don't know anything that was mentioned in the lore that.
I've never played these games, so I have no clue.
I mean, Oblivion and Skyrim, I don't remember anything that happened.
But I mean, because Oblivion was in Morrowind, right? But the thing is that did they ever mention the other one? Skyrim?
They've mentioned Skyrim before Skyrim. They did.
Oh, okay. Oh.
So he's talking about that type of scenario, like a world that or a land or realm, whatever. He named some. Let me name some because, you know, just for the Elder Scrolls fans in here. He goes Simmering Isles or Somerset Isles or Argonia. Yeah. I'm going to assume they haven't been visited yet in the game.
Are you sure these aren't fucking part of Westeros?
You know? For Essos, Argonia. Man. The free cities, you know?
The free cities, man. Yo, by the way, they should do Skyrim, and then what they should do, they should partner with George R. R. Martin to remake Game of Thrones, you know, so everyone can have their happy ending.
By the way, shout out to Charles Singletary. He tweeted this out. He's like, he heard, you know, that George R. R. Martin is going to do text-based, rewrites of Game of Thrones. So, you know, if you don't like season 7 and 8, he's going to do a complete rewrite in 2-book forms. So get ready for that. Should be pretty good.
What?
Oh shit!
Yeah, it's a long way of saying, you know, he's writing books. He's basically saying, if you don't like the show, wait for the books.
Well, whatever.
Yeah. Because, yeah, no, you know, people are like, oh, they need to remake it. They need to remake it. And he's like, guys, you're getting a remake. And it's going to be text-based in two books that are never going to be coming out in your lifetime.
They're probably never going to come out in a lifetime. Yeah. Or even in George R. R. Martin's lifetime.
Yeah. It'd be right up when he's dead. Mm-hmm. All right, man. All right, let's move on. Where the fuck are we? N. Benjamin 334. Okay, would Sony be smart to delay The Last of Us 2 to launch with PS5, or should it release on PS4 and PS5 the way Breath of the Wild launched on Wii U and Switch?
I think that's probably going to happen. They're probably going to do a double time, or they might, you know, it would be smart if they did have it for PlayStation 5, but I feel
they're
like
they're not doing that.
They're not going to do that, no.
Because by the time PlayStation 5 comes out, there's going to be 100 million PlayStation 4s out there. You think you're going to cut that market off? Hell no.
Yeah, no, they're not. Yeah, no. I mean, you just tell everybody to go to the next thing. They're going to probably do a soft rollover. You know,
I think what's going to probably happen is they're going to have a disc that just plays on both.
That might be a thing, too.
And it just upscales, like, you know, when you play on PS5.
Mm-hmm. That might be a thing. I mean, I feel like that and Death Stranding are probably going to get that sort of deal.
Yeah.
It gets shinier when you put it on a PlayStation 5.
Yes.
Yeah, I think they should definitely do like a Twilight Princess situation, because not only will you release this game for the hundred million consoles that are out there, but it also, you can use it as a tool to sell your new system for the people that are quote unquote uninitiated. You can advertise this game as the PS5 game.
And a good rollover, too, would be like if they also had a shared save between the two consoles. So being it's relatatively the same game, right? You can just put your game on the cloud and pull it over from the previous one. So, you know, let's say you don't have the PlayStation 5 right now, but, you know, you can just go, you know, when you do get enough money, you just save your game and put it on the new thing.
Yeah, it'd be good. Yo, Adam, what's up, man?
What's up, man? What's up, I saw some really good man-on-man action right now. I'm kind of surprised.
Oh, man.
Undertaker win?
Well, they did announce that he has his match. You know, he's 78 years old, still going strong.
Damn.
And he has a match out in Saudi Arabia against Goldberg, who's 94. That's going to be a butter match.
Are you being serious?
I'm being serious. Yo, they announced both of them are having a match. Next month in Saudi Arabia, Undertaker versus Goldberg.
And we all thought it was going to be Sting.
Yeah, I really wish it would have been Sting. At least a gimmick versus gimmick match. I mean, damn, Goldberg, really?
Do we really want to see Goldberg?
Nobody wants to see that shit. It's just they need to grab big names. And since they don't have any current stars that are that big, and they can't bring The Rock because, you know, he's Mr. Hollywood, can't bring Steve Austin because of his neck injury. Mm-hmm. So they're like, all right, who's a big name that can technically still go if we juice him up with steroids? Like, well, we got Goldberg who can still go. He's got a gym. And so, okay, then bring him. Undertaker's always down to do it. And there you go. Goldust has a main event versus his brother at a pay-per-view at AEW.
He's Dustin
Rhodes. Yeah. Yep.
Oh, man. All right, anyway, do we have anything else to say about that question? I think we pretty much covered it.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. All right. Where are we? Okay. G Mega Force 123. So his first question is, what game have you enjoyed more on the second playthrough? For me, before like this generation, probably all of them. I always enjoyed games more on the second time around. This generation, I don't have the time to play a game second time around. One, because of work, and two, because games are so fucking long, I don't want to play them again, you know? But before, like, because the first playthrough is when you're kind of stumbling around, you don't know what the hell is going on, and then when the second playthrough, you got all the shit worked out, and you could just enjoy the game instead of just fucking around with the controls or whatever. So I always traditionally enjoyed every game the second time around. But nowadays, I can't really do that because, again, work, I got to move on to every other game, and games are just too fucking long. Like, hey, I love the Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I'm not playing that shit again. 100 hours? Fuck that. I'm not playing that shit again, you know? Mm-hmm. Anyway, Manny, about you?
Didn't you do that for Black Flag?
I did that but that was, you know, before all. Actually, did I play? I did play.
I could have swore you played it. You did it twice.
No, yeah, but that was like 7 years ago, dude. I don't do that anymore, you know? I would love to for some games, but I can't do that, you know?
You'd probably play a game over again if it was a lot shorter.
Resident Evil, man. Yeah, I played that twice, you know? But yeah, Adam, I did do it for Black Flag, but that was years ago. You know, that was a long time ago.
For me,
1985.
For me,
1985, right when that shit dropped, you know?
That's it.
For me on these games, I don't usually play this is going back to the day. I usually don't play games over again. I've always do one gold playthrough and that's it. One and done. So there's only a few games that I've ever gone back to, and then that's only just to get to clear out all the additional content. So Metal Gear, give you an example, Metal Gear 2 and 3, if you're completing them, you know, especially for 2, you had to play that one multiple times in order to get all the dog tags, to get all the secret, the stealth camouflage and all that other bullshit, right? I did that one. But yeah, for all of the games that I've ever played, I've never actually played them again after. So Final Fantasy X, Final Fantasy VII, any one of those big, long games, I've never played them again.
Yo, man, you play for keeps.
Yep, that's it. Play for keeps. One gold, like for Kingdom Hearts. You remember, once you beat the game, and then there's a new kind of a semi. You can go back and play New Game Plus or anything like that. I didn't even do that. I got everything in all in one shot.
Nice. For me, it was Mass Effect 3, because I played my first playthrough was with the original ending, and the second playthrough was with the DLC ending.
Oh shit! Mass Effect. I've beaten every Mass Effect game 3 times at least. You know,
I beat the first one once, the second one twice, and the third one twice.
Yeah, because my whole thing was actually Mass Effect. I think I played that 5 times. I love that fucking game. But basically, because with those, like I get the Renegade and the Paragon, and then I try to do the what I call perfect playthrough, you know, like, okay, let's try to do the perfect playthrough. And a perfect playthrough is just basically a better version of the Paragon, where I like get every single item and everything, you know. Dragon Age Inquisition, I only played twice because the game was fucking insanely long, you know.
In fact, you were complaining at the time.
I was like, why is this game still going? Yeah, I was like, why is this game still going? You know, because usually I can knock out a BioWare game in 40 hours. That's nothing, you know?
I felt that way when they did the Crystal Dynamics, did the remake of Tomb Raider. Because remember, you played that one. You finished that one, right?
Which one?
When Crystal Dynamics got involved and they did their version of like an Uncharted Tomb Raider.
Oh, yeah. The first one.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I finished it. I got to the boat and then it turned into a whole other game with like the spirits and the demons. I'm like, what the hell is this shit? It should have been over. I should have been on the damn boat and sailing away. It turned into a completely different game, another 2 hours or so.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I didn't feel the game was that long. And now that game's short compared to what we play normally, you know?
Yeah.
Just crazy. But, Adam, since you're talking, what about you, man? What games did you enjoy better on the second playthrough?
I gotta go God of War, Gears of War. That one, because the first playthrough was great, but the second one, I got to just play a little more free, try the alternate paths, because you can try an alternate path, play as Dom. I switched it up, you know, and see a different perspective. So it was good, you know, for me. And I mean, I played that, damn, I think I beat it 2 or 3 times. And then I went back for the Ultimate when they did that one. And I beat it on Insane on that one. That was... Yeah,
for Ultimate, because Adam, I told you this, that's the first time I even played Gears, right?
Oh, man.
Yo, that, because the game is short, it's like 5, 6 hours. I beat that shit like 5, 6 times.
Did you play with anybody?
No, I played with myself, man.
Oh, you can't keep playing with yourself.
Yeah, I did play with myself.
You gotta do that in co-op. That game needs to be done in co-op.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that just playing through it like on my own, man. It's so fun.
Especially when they do the way they do the splits, where it's like, remember, it's like one person has to, like, there was this one part where you had a spotlight and you had to shine it on your buddy so that we can get through the darkness, or else the locusts come after him.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
you know, so
yeah, player two is the one that you're doing.
Yeah, I played, with the exception of Judgment, I played all the Gears of War games. I've played them all solo. And I enjoy the hell out of them.
No, they're fine solo, but I mean, you know, double the fun. Sort of like the Division type of thing. You could play it by yourself, but
man, Division, man,
I would
broke my heart.
Don't worry, they'll fix it. Yeah, they'll listen it. To the crowd. If there's one thing we all talked about over the years, Ubisoft listens to the audience and they make adjustments when needed. So,
and you know, they'll just make another make a petition. Don't you worry about that.
Well, my cousin was ready to kill somebody last night, man. Fuck, he is
pissed. That's it. We all rage quit. Yeah, it's okay. It's part of life.
That's it.
Part of life.
All right, Brian, go ahead, man.
I'd have to go for Dragon's Dogma. It's was amazingly fun second time round. It made a lot more sense. And the thing is, second time round, you get New Game Plus, and the enemies don't scale to your level. Hence, you just walk around like a complete badass, just
nice.
Wrecking shit. It's so much fun. It's like you walk in there with like end game level stuff, and then you even get even higher levels. So it's kind of like, hey, you're already end game like stats. And you come back to level one, but you know what? You can have some more levels and add some more power to it. Since you're end game plus, you know, it's like, what? So I can become even more powerful and shit on these small people? Like, yeah. Like, why not?
That's awesome. There's a couple of games like that. Resident Evil 4, a lot more fun on the second time around because you have all the weapons from before, you know? So you're just plowing through all these zombies. It's great. Dead Space is another one. You come back, you know, on New Game Plus, you're ripping these motherfuckers up. You know, it's fun.
That's what I did with Dark Souls.
Yeah, man. That's another one. When you come back like that, those enemies that gave you such a hard time, you're just fucking them up, you know? Yeah. And it's not cheating because you already paid your dues the first time around, you know?
Well, doesn't Dark Souls, like, make all the enemies harder?
Well, New Game Plus, they get harder, but if you find the good shit,
yeah.
Sometimes you need to do New Game Plus to finalize the weapons and stuff. That's what I had to do for the Platinum. You had to go in, and it's like, I can't grind for this playthrough, or grind for the other one. Then you just get this beefy shit, and you're just smacking guys around.
Yeah, it's awesome. All right, Chris.
I mentioned Dark Souls. I think Resident Evil 5 I played through multiple times.
Yeah. That was a good one to play through, yeah.
Yeah, you could upgrade the guns. I did the Mercenaries mode. Mercenaries are a bitch. I did that mode so I could unlock the hand cannon, which is the ultimate magnum.
Yes.
And I upgraded that shit, and you get infinite ammo with that shit, and I'm just murdering everyone.
Yeah, Resident Evil games have always done, like, they've always rewarded you for playing again. I always appreciated that. Carlos, did you go?
Yes.
All right. Okay. Okay. Let's move on then. Okay. Is there a game that you 100%ed that, but it wasn't a pay? Like, okay, let me just read. Is there a game you 100%ed, but the payoff wasn't worth it? Adam, I'm going to you first, man. This seems like a you question.
I have plenty of games like that where that's you 100%ed what I'm saying. And it's like, was it worth it? Damn, there was something I did not too long ago. Fuck.
I am Mayo.
No, that was worth it. That was worth it.
No shame, no shame.
It was worth every 5 minutes of that shit. That was every minute.
Every 5 minutes.
Yeah, every minute for that 5 minutes. Damn, no. Wait, come back to me, because there was a good one.
All right.
I know you're the last one, aren't you?
Okay, I'll come back.
Is it Division 2?
Yeah, let's throw that on the top of the pile, because I'm sure there's other ones, but yeah, recently. Because think about it, like, what was the point of the story? We beat it. Who fucking knows? Nothing. Yeah. The first one was like that, too, but it had that dun-dun-dun. We knew something was coming. This one, I mean, nothing. That was it. But you know what? I go into it for the fun of it, not so much of the story. That's the thing.
Yeah, you don't need to worry about that. Yeah, you don't need to worry about that. The only way I could think of on the top of my head is the first Prototype. I got it 100%, got the Platinum. I'm like, why did I do that? I don't even like this game.
You know? Well, yeah, because you were like, man, I started the game. I'm going to finish the shit out of this game.
Yeah, that was also the time where, like, if I got a game, I had to Platinum it, even if I wasn't happy about it. Like, I had to do it.
Like, why the fuck do I get it?
Yeah, and I was also playing a game hoping it would become good, like Hulk Ultimate Destruction. It's like, Tony, it's not going to become better than the third time around, man. It's still the same fucking game. Ugh. Manny, what about you? Was there a game you 100%ed and you were like, hey, this shit wasn't worth it?
It's funny. The only time I actually 100% a game is if I really enjoyed a game, if I, you know, I really enjoyed a franchise or something like that. So usually, like, you know, like, Castlevania Lord of Shadow was not a game that I would ever fully play through. In fact, I dreaded every single moment I played that damn game. But you know, like, yeah, there's not a lot of games that I just like, you know, like that I usually get the feeling to kind of fully take it all the way when I played the game through. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I think I want to get as many of the things in the game as I can. But I never really get, you know, that, you know, like, it's not, you usually can tell when a game is going to do that. Usually most games kind of give you a pretty decent reward at the end, you know.
Castlevania Lords of Shadow was so bad. Okay, Manny lent it to me, right? Mm-hmm. He lent me the game. The game was so bad, I wanted my money back. That's how bad that game was. You know, fuck that game.
I bought that thing on a whim, man. I forgot what else came out at that same day. It was another game, that really big game, though. Maybe it was an Uncharted or something else big came out on the same day. And I picked them. I just said, you know what? I'll pick them both up. Why not? Anyway, there's not really, like...
Glorious War, don't spoil, son. I will kick your ass out right now, son.
Oh, shit.
Is it because we're saying Castlevania? We don't like Castlevania.
No, because he's talking about Game of Thrones. Like, bro, chill.
Yeah, don't even do that.
Chris.
Wait, what?
They were like, what's the question?
Game that you know.
Yeah,
you
was a game you 100% in and you were like, why did I do that?
Oh, shit. No, I think the only thing I could think of recently is Division 2. I'm still mad.
But then you just said 100%. Yeah, 100%. Yes, one that we got the platinum.
Getting gear score 500s, it seems like 100%. No, I mean, the platinum is outrageous. Like, well, all the multiplayer you have to do. But it just felt so pointless to get all that gear and wait for the raids and recalibration. I recalibrated stuff, had my stuff over 500, and it's gone. It's wiped out. So what was the point?
Yeah, like, yeah, I'm going to count that because that's some bullshit. All right, Carlos.
I can't really think of a game that I've 100%ed. Well, most of the Halo ones, I didn't really... I got all the skulls. I played them in Legendary mode.
And you felt it was worth it, right?
Yeah, I did, I guess. I don't know. I've never really done that, like, where it didn't feel satisfactory or anything like that. So, yeah.
Right,
I'm exempt.
Brian,
I'm the same boat as Manny. Like, I don't really go after games unless I really like them. In terms of the one that I felt the least satisfied and least motivated was Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. Purely just because of these, like, the two-player mode. It was fun for the first on normal difficulty, but on hard, it just became like an absolute chore. And hence, by the time I was done, I'm like, so I just went through all this crap for this platinum, and I don't even care that much.
I really wish your answer was The Last of Us, just so you get a Glorious War angry.
Last of Us, I don't feel compelled to go through it again. It's like one of those games that I lent to my friend, and then I never asked for it back.
Damn, like, you can keep that?
You can keep it, please. Just take it away from me, please. Thank you.
Wow. There you
I've
go.
I've never done that before.
Take that stank away, please. Thank you.
That stank away. Hate. Yeah, man, you never did that, obviously.
Yeah, I've never done that before. Like, you know, just permanently gave something, you know,
Yeah, man. He even wanted Lords of Shadow back, man.
Yeah, I wanted Lords of Shadow back, and you know what I did with it? Sold it.
And you never sell games.
And I rarely sell games. I can count on my fingers how many games I sold back.
It's crazy. By the way, I'm the same way. Like, if I sell a game back, that means it's fucking bad. Because I got a collection, man.
Back in the day, though, it was a little bit. I would say
you had to sell games to get the new system.
Yeah, more common, like, you know, I did sell off one time. Me and Adam went two for two on this this thing where you ship all your games away to send, you know, and they get appraised and they send your money back or something like that.
Yeah, they send you a check. They send you a check for the game.
I can't remember what we used it for. I know we bought something. You know,
I remember what I used it for a lot of 3DO games.
Because
that's why I know I sold a bunch of games to get 3DO. Because it was in the back of comics, you would see like this trade in, and it's like, oh, they would tell you key games that if you had and how much you would get for them. You know, so then you would fill out the form, rip that page out of the comic, put it in the box, send it to them, you know, and hope for the best that you would get it. Because I mean, it's an honor system, really. There was nothing, no way to know if you were going to get your shit back.
Yeah. All right, man. Moving on. Digital Tiger, Sony was getting dragged for not allowing crossplay with Xbox One and Switch for Fortnite. Why has there been less energy and little to no outrage regarding Microsoft for still making its customers pay for Fortnite and other free-to-play games through Xbox Live Gold? But like we said before, because most guys don't even know it. That's why. They're no, just, pay, they just happily they paying it. Their subscription, and they have no right. idea that if that subscription is gone, they can't play any of those games.
It's all about things being in front of people's faces. And if it's right in front of people's faces, that's when people start complaining about it. These are, it's the same thing with the microtransaction, the loot boxes, right? Those sorts of that sort of idea. Those microtransactions that prey on people, right? Those things have existed for years, way before they actually got into AAA games. They were all on the online games, the Candy Crush and a bunch of other ones. They had kind of pay to win ideas. The moment that it became apparent was when it hit something, a big franchise like Star Wars, and everybody finally went, oh shit, that's what it's doing. So I think that's the same situation here. It's like, because there's nobody's paying attention. That's why, I'm not going to say nobody, but that a lot of people, not a massive amount of people are paying attention. You just have it right there. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much it. We've answered this before, kind of.
We've gone
over it, but yeah, that's basically what it is. A lot of these Xbox guys don't even know.
It's kind of funny though, because it's like when you see the kind of double standard, and only thing people are really complaining about is things that are right up in your face. When there's so many other fucked up things that are happening, and a little bit more under the surface, and everybody's just like, man, it's okay. Or, oh, I didn't know about that.
Right? Yeah. Right. Oh man. All right, next up, this generation, Rockstar Games has been a disappointment. Technically, they've only produced one new game, Red Dead 2, and the other games have been remasters, GTA 5 and L.A. Noire. So, okay, here's where this is a very weird question. So let's see if we could break this down, because it's a hypothetical question. If you were an Xbox One only gamer, which would you rather have, Rockstar's games this generation or Microsoft's exclusives? Either option you pick, you'll only be able to play with you'll still be able to play all the other multiplats. Note, remember, you're an Xbox only owner, so you can't use the Microsoft exclusives on PC excuse. So I don't know what this means exactly, this question.
It almost feels like two different, like three different questions.
It's kind of like he mixed it all together into one, you know.
But is it just me, or did he make it seem Crackdown 3 doesn't count in this?
Maybe,
because he said nope. Don't take into account games that are also on PC. That's how I understood it.
Well, then you don't have many Microsoft exclusives, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There's only like Halo, the Master Chief Collection, and that's it.
Yeah, I'm not understanding. You can play GTA 5 and Red Dead on Xbox.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, the way that I think is better to interpret it is you only get to play either the Rockstar games. So let's say we're setting aside the Rockstar games this gen, and then we're setting aside the Xbox exclusive games this gen, and we get to choose which of those two we get to play for this generation, plus the multiplats.
But what would be the point of that? I think that's where I'm getting confused. Like, why would you do that?
It's pretty much the question. This is what pretty much the question is asking. Would you prefer playing more Rockstar games this generation or Xbox exclusive games this generation?
Oh, okay. Let's go there. Yeah. So would you rather play more Rockstar games than Xbox exclusives?
I would much rather play Xbox exclusive, more Xbox exclusive than Rockstar games.
Yep. I'm the same.
Yeah, I'll go with Xbox.
Because to be honest, it's like, this is just me, but it doesn't.
So basically,
would
I rather play one game or all the Xbox exclusives? Is that the question, the heart of it?
Well, yeah, it's like, or maybe two, three games.
Let's
just be real. Red Dead, just only Red
That's
Dead.
That's all
Red
we
Dead.
Had. That's what I'm saying. Because yeah, GTA Dead. 5 is
so,
not.
Yeah, would I rather play Red Dead 2 or all the Xbox games? I'd rather play Red Dead 2 because that's my game of the generation anyway. So
yeah, this generation gave us a Gears of War Ultimate. We had some Halos in there.
It wasn't a fucking Anthem.
You know? I'm not Brent, you know.
So,
I'd rather play Red Dead than all the Xbox exclusives combined.
Yeah, I just the thing is like from I don't know why he has why there's a problem with Rockstar only really making of one game.
Yeah, especially when it's that butter.
Especially game. How big that game is.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, with the amount of work that went into that thing, I mean, it's not surprising that they could only really work on one game at a fucking time.
Yeah. Or maybe this guy's asking, you know, another type of question because Sketch, he may have hit it. He's like, Xbox has no exclusives.
Yeah,
Didn't he also say more Xbox exclusives than Rockstar games?
No, but he said you can't count the PC games, but those are so Microsoft doesn't have anything then.
Doesn't make sense because that comes to PC. Their exclusives eventually do work with that PC anywhere, so that's just a feature, but they're originally Xbox exclusives. You can't play them on anything else. So it doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
it's still an Xbox exclusive title.
Yeah,
until it's on the Switch next month. But
yeah, right. Besides that. You know, interesting question. Anyway, moving on. My favoritely named questionnaire, I guess. Yeah, Bob Ross's pubic fro band. Again, silly name, but good questions. With Sony and Microsoft partnering up, do you feel they are doing this to combat Google and Amazon in the future?
Yeah, I would think so.
I think so. Possible.
Yeah.
Most likely more than Google than anyone else.
Yeah, more Google than anyone else. I mean, we have yet to see what the hell Amazon has been doing. They've had all this stuff in their base, and they still.
What about Netflix gaming? That shit's coming. They got a booth at E3, man. God. But yeah, I think we talked about this before. Basically, this is them setting up to combat Stadia in some way. You know, but it is really more about like Sony just needed the infrastructure and they weren't going to build it. It's like, Azure exists. We're going to go for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like, they're going to start merging now. Like some of these idiots on Twitter have been saying.
No. Some
dumb motherfuckers out there, man. I swear.
You're not going to merge.
You know,
Sony's doing fine.
As Chris just expressed
from the financials not long ago on his own on the show.
Again, it's like, look, they're using Microsoft things. This is a sign of what?
Of what?
Hey, you know what? You know what else? You know who's been using Blu-rays for their games? Microsoft. Who makes Blu-rays?
Do they gotta pay for that?
Sony. Come on, man. People are stupid, man. I swear. Well,
not with this ad edition.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's right. You know.
You know who else was paying Sony for Blu-ray drives? Nintendo and the Wii U. That's a Blu-ray drive. Locked out of playing. It was locked from playing media.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Carl is like, excuse me?
I didn't even know this. They
did this exact same thing. The Wii has a DVD drive in it that's locked from playing media. It can only play game discs, right? But it's a DVD drive in there, and people have hacked it to play movies.
Wow, I didn't know the fucking Wii U had a Blu-ray drive. You're blowing my mind right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, does that mean Sony and Nintendo are merging? No.
Yeah, right?
Idiots. I'm sure some Nintendo was just like, we're buying them from Toshiba Sony. Because Toshiba also owns a portion of that of the patent to Blu-ray, so...
Sketch says, I only don't want them to merge because it would take competition out and the market would stagnate even more. But outside of that, I am okay with them doing business together. But they're not merging at all. So you don't have to worry about that.
Don't even need to worry about that.
Yeah, don't even have to worry about that. All right, we got one more question. So if you guys want to ask us anything before we wrap up and go watch Game of Thrones, get them in now, man.
Game of Thrones.
All right. Do you feel Days Gone and Rage 2 would have scored better if... Oh, by the way, he's kind of mixing three questions in here, but they all do harmonize together, so it'll be good. Okay.
They harmonize.
Not like that other question. Like, what the fuck is going on here? Yo, Tony, man, don't hate on the fans. I'm not hating, man. I'm just making an observation.
Observation.
Okay. Do you feel that Days Gone and Rage 2 would have scored better if they were not open world? Do you feel people have open world fatigue and maybe that has something to do with a lot of the games getting lower scores? And when did you suffer open world fatigue? We can answer that part last. So do you think the open world aspect hurt these games, you know, as far as the critics are concerned?
I don't know.
I mean, it's a little hard to see Days Gone and Rage as full, you know, as not being open world games, right?
Yeah, but I mean, you think maybe
Rage was already an open world game, right?
Yeah, do you think maybe some of the reviewers are getting tired of the open world games?
I think the biggest issue of it is not that the open worlds themselves. It's, well, you know, it is the open world, but it's the what do you call it? I don't think it's actually fatigue. I just think the quality of the open world is the issue. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe.
In other words, it's those the company that makes Rage. What is that? Id?
I believe so. Yeah.
And the guys who made Days Gone, their teams are not exactly that huge. They're not on the level of like both of those teams are not on the level of the guys like let's say, you know, a Rockstar, which has thousands of employees working on different portions of the game. So I think that the issue with both of those games is the fact that they're trying to create open worlds and they don't have the sort of infrastructure to create them. And they instead of making a sort of a smaller open world, they try to make these big sprawling ones. And then once it starts getting that big, that's when it starts to become a problem.
For Rage 2, Avalanche helped, and Avalanche did Just Cause, and they do know how to make open world games. But I think it is a little bit of fatigue. I know I'm tired of it. I'm like, come on, man, another one of these fucking games, really?
I'm not really that crazed about open world games. I just feel like it's a cheap excuse to try to extend the game longer. It's like instead of, you know, teleporting or, you know, the next level being the portion of the story that you need to go to, it's the fact that you have to drive there and you have to drive like 30 minutes to, you know, to get to the next thing, you know.
Yeah. Carlos, and then you'll get distracted
by a bunch of events.
Yeah. Carlos, what are you going to say?
I think it's both the whole open world game fatigue, but also it's like these aren't like franchises that people are clamoring to, like Rage 2. Nobody really asked for that.
Yeah,
nobody cared that much about Rage 1.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
When I saw this, I was like, oh well, I guess it's just trying to make up for Rage 1 because they saw the shortcomings and they were like, well, we're gonna fix all of that one day, and that's what this one is all about. But it sounds like it still has shortcomings. So.
Yeah, but even like someone like you that noticed that kind of stuff didn't even buy the game.
No, I did not.
So it didn't reach anybody. And it's like Days Gone is just, I don't know, it's just one of those, it's...
It doesn't feel unique. It doesn't feel special.
Yeah, there's nothing special about it. Like, yeah. And also, yeah. Like...
No, not really.
I mean, I think it sold pretty decent.
Yeah, it did. Oh,
it's a fun story experience, and that's what people like.
Yeah, that's
what I'm sure it is a good game.
Like, both of them, like, critically didn't do well, but Days Gone is selling.
Yeah,
Rage 2 is not selling or critically acclaimed.
I don't even know it came out.
See, you know, LOL. Who this?
It's like, remember
who are you? Who even are
like
you?
2 years ago with the Call of Duty Infinite War, that one did not receive well critically, but it was always in the top NPDs. Yeah, people just bought
these duty heads, man.
Yeah, they don't give a shit.
Like, yo, it got duty on there.
Right, that's it. Do I get to shoot bitches in the face? Robots.
Just got duty all over it.
You got your smell like duty in here, man. Oh, God. Let me read some of the comments. Sonia says, I think it is fatigue and same thing, nothing new. Mm-hmm. Rage 2 is, Sketch says, Rage 2 is okay, but the problem with open world games is that they have no new systems to add to the game. We are still in the Ubisoft frame of making open world games no matter who makes it. Yeah, that's true. Manny, Black Metal Gamer, agrees with you. He goes, open world is lazy design for the most part.
I mean, you look at a game, I'm going to say this, like, look at a game like God of War, right? Now, that game is not really an open world game. It's actually just, there's one route with, like, little branches that goes off. But, like, look at how sprawling that game is, right? I liked the way that they did that better than just, you know, kind of creating a kind of more curated world than just, you know, massive distances of nothing.
That's why I appreciate Resident Evil 2. Like, I love, you know, a very, like you said, a very scripted type of world, very curated type of world, you know, where you could, where you, like, because you have a world that's, like, deliberately designed, you could appreciate how they wrap it all together more. You know, you don't have stuff like that in an open world game. You know, there's no clever designs in the levels because everything has to look or feel realistic, you know.
Or, like, you know, where you talk about, like, a lot of the Souls, you know, the Souls games. Those
yeah,
games,
I love that, yeah.
Those games are not open world games. I mean, they do have a bit of openness as to what things that you can do before others, right? But at the same time, they're very curated sort of worlds.
Yeah.
They're not sprawling.
Yeah, and they're built for a purpose, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not just, like, they're not trying to replicate life. They're just trying to make a really good gaming experience and a good gaming environment that is fun to traverse, you know?
If you think about it, let's say you took any sort of open world game, right? And then you just kind of condensed all the different events and things all into one single area, right? For many of them, there's not officially that much of that game that exists. Most of your time is just going out in the world, driving across the distance, then you might run into some sort of thing that'll get you in a way that'll slow down your progress, whether it be some guy asking for help or some other side mission that or things that just show up before you get to the thing that you need to get to. Yeah. And this hasn't changed since the time that Grand Theft Auto went, you know, fully 3D open world.
Yeah, and then the other part of the question was, when did you experience or when did you first suffer open world fatigue? Like me, he says 2015. I'm going to list the games he listed, then I'm going to add some more that he missed. Batman Arkham Knight, The Witcher 3, Dying Light, and Fallout 4 came out that year. Also, Just Cause 3 and Metal Gear Solid 5. That's the year that broke me. With the exception of The Witcher 3, I played all these games. And by the time I got to Dying Light, I mean, not Dying Light, but by the time I got to Just Cause, I just ran through the game. I'm like, I'm not doing any side shit. I'm done with these fucking games. I was tired of it, you know? Like, fuck this shit. Then before,
you see what the developers are trying to do. They're trying to keep you immersed in the game so you wouldn't sell it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they give you a longer game with a lot of content in it. So
open world is their answer to
it. And now look what's happening. Now there's Battle Royale shit. So with the micros and all that. So they're like, oh, maybe this is a new method. So yeah, don't worry. We'll get rid of all of those big open worlds and we'll just give you more of this shit.
Oh, God. I'd rather have an open world game.
There you go. Well, you know, we'll see. Everybody's got to vote with their wallet.
It's funny because, like, I feel like for Batman as an open world, it is an open world, but at the same time, it's not as sprawling, and I feel like sometimes overwhelming as a lot of them were. Yeah. And I also, you know, for me, I've never cared that much for open world games, even from, you know, going back. Did. Even going back to the original Grand Theft Auto, where literally it was like the top down look of that game, I really didn't care that much for those sorts of games. I'm okay with games being a little bit gamey and, you know, level two and stuff like that, or, you know, what gets you to the next area. I don't care. I don't care about the day to day of driving or taking a horse to the next location.
Yeah. Level two.
Yeah. No. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like, okay, yes, it's trying to replicate life. But to be honest, if I was living a video game right now, I don't want to fucking experience the section of me riding a goddamn 4-hour train to getting somewhere.
So you like more arcade-y type games?
No, yeah. It's not the arcade-y games. I'm okay with, yeah, I like arcade-y games, but I like games that, you know, you don't need to know how the person got there. If you had a cinematic that said, hey, he just walked through a door, and then I'm like, okay, good, that's fine. Let's continue. You know what I mean?
He says no Shenmue then, Manny.
Shenmue, again, was not that big of an open world game. How open was Shenmue, if you think about it? It's literally a one direction block that connects to itself. There was no, you couldn't go down most of the side streets in that.
Yeah, no. It was for show.
It was a little town. And I feel like those sorts of ideas I'm okay with, where it's like, you know, it's just enough. It's the area that you know. It's fine. But when you were starting to go, like, if you think about it, how much part of the original, all of the gameplay does the location of, let's see, Liberty City take place in? Most of that city you don't use. It's just background noise to get to the next location. So skip the middleman.
I have a question for Tony.
Uh-oh.
2015 was the year that it kind of, like, you started getting the fatigue.
Yes.
So what did you say about 2017?
So 2017 was good. It had some, but not a lot. From what
I thought it had a lot. It had like Nier. It had Horizon.
It was Watch Dogs.
It had too? Yakuza 0.
By the way, Yakuza, I don't count that as open world. Even though it's big, I don't count that as open world. You know, it's like Shenmue.
I also don't consider Nier
all open world game either.
Excuse me?
Even though it can be, but it isn't. You know,
can be, but it isn't. Yeah, I don't know, because I mean, you can't do anything you want in there, really, right? Isn't that the portion of the open world?
Well, that's one aspect of it, but like, because I don't know. Nier's a tricky one, but I personally don't consider open world.
I mean, it seems that most open world games have a general thing to it, but it's like.
But yeah, 2017. That was Horizon. I think I played three of them that year, which was like not a lot compared to 2015. You know,
I guess you liked the. I remember you saying you enjoyed the Horizon.
Yeah, that was good. That was a good
Gravity open world Rush
game.
2.
Gravity Rush 2. Oh, that's not an open world game. I don't consider that open world.
We changing the rules here.
I'm not changing nothing. I'm just telling you, I don't consider that open world game. Not really. You know. More of a vertical game than anything, you know.
Yeah, another, you know, like, you but know, it's I, funny because but I, like, wouldn't, I don't, yeah, because there's different the, parts I don't of it feel that, the
you
same the,
that load. You know what I'm saying? Like, the loading is a big thing. Like, there's certain levels in there that you cannot just go to whenever the hell you want. You need to, it only happens during the cinema or you have to load it. Like, I don't consider that open world game.
I never for some reason for Nier and for Gravity Rush, I never really felt that sort of overwhelming feeling that I feel from someone like the overwhelming feel that I felt from Mad Max or even Metal Gear 5 or
Red Dead.
I'm like, I still haven't played that yet.
Manny's so overwhelmed by that. He hasn't even started it.
I played a little bit of it, but I was just like, ugh.
He's too big.
I also got through playing, you know, Kingdom Hearts, which was also not an open world game, by the way.
Not open world, but fucking.
But it's a crazy long game.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with that idea, where it's like just like, you know, kind of a, but I don't know. I can't. I gotta psych myself up for Red Dead.
Yeah. Okay, Chris, did you get tired of open world games? And if you did, what was the year that did it for you?
No, I never got tired of it. I mean, I'm playing Wildlands right now.
Yeah, there you go. So you didn't get tired of it. All right. Who did get tired of open world games?
Crickets.
Yeah. Okay. It's just me then.
Yeah. I think it's mainly you, Tony.
Yeah. Also, it's just me.
I think we need to consider like the context for Rage 2 and Days Gone. Mm-hmm. Because taking Rage 2, I was one of the few people in the world that actually liked Rage 1. So the biggest problem that people had with the first Rage is that they kept on comparing it to the Fallout games because it had Bethesda on the box, since everyone was expecting a Fallout type experience. So hence, when it wasn't in an open world game, they were like, "Huh, what the fuck is this?"
Just a shooter.
Like,
yeah, just
you
shooter.
Want an open world game. So hence, I think that was the context of why Rage 2 was an open world, and hence why that's just not that great. Because again, I don't think that it works in an open world environment. And with Days Gone, that game's been in development for 7 years. So back when the PS4 launched. And if you think of how this game would have done back then, it actually would have done quite well. Because again, it was something different, something new. But then since then, we've had the same stuff. So we've had lots of Days Gone games since then. So now when Days Gone comes out, it's like, hey, it's another Days Gone game. Like, we already know this format. We've already been here. We don't want this again. So I think that is some of the reasons why people aren't enjoying these games as much. Because it's either one, it was a shift that they wanted back then, but now it doesn't make sense. Or two, it's something that that started as fresh and new, but then it just turned out to be the same stuff. I think that the issue with open world fatigue isn't that you're tired of open world, just tired of bad open world game. Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing as well. Because again, open world games can be really good if it's done really well, but most games don't do it. They just tend to just stick with it and say, okay, you know, this is it, this is fine. This is all what the cool kids want. Let's do it, and then not put in the effort to actually make it good.
And I think you're onto something.
Like, Tony, aren't you excited for
Excited for what?
Cyberpunk.
No, I don't care about that game. No, I don't care about that game. I've said that many times. Like, I don't care about that. I don't like the genre. I've never been a cyberpunk guy. You know,
I mean, you've played games with Cyberpunk
elements. Yeah, I have.
Did you not like Blade Runner?
No, I never watched that. I never liked that Blade. Yeah, I was like, what the fuck is this shit? You know?
No, but I mean, you did like. But I mean, you liked Deus Ex.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. That's Cyberpunk. There's always exceptions to rules. Think about it like this, right? I don't like samurai stuff, but I love Samurai Showdown. You know, I love Ninja Scroll. You know, so there's always exceptions, and Cyberpunk could be an exception too, but. Just from what I'm looking at, like, it doesn't look like it's anything special, to be honest. But I could be wrong, you know. Now I forgot what I was going to say to Brian. Red Dead. That's a perfect example. I wasn't tired of that at all. But I wanted more. It was amazing to me. So,
but you like westerns, so you're already.
I don't like westerns at all.
What do you mean? You kept saying that you liked all these western movies
because of Red Dead.
Yeah, like before the time he before the, you know, because remember he was saying he was watching all these westerns. It's because he had never experienced all those. He never liked westerns. In fact, he didn't like them so much that he didn't even want to see them.
Yeah,
you didn't like the first Red Dead?
No, that was the exception. There's always exceptions to the rules, and I almost didn't even buy the first Red Dead because it was a western. I'm like, westerns? What the fuck? Some dudes running around on horses shooting? What the fuck is that? You know? But you know, it's like Tony, it's a Rockstar game, bro. I played it. I love this. I'm like, hey. Westerns are kind of cool, you know. So,
but then after this one, it was like, okay, so like, dude, the idea that you because he's never seen a western world, the idea that you have of westerns is not any of the good westerns. So then you watched all the good ones,
yeah, and it was great, you know. So yeah, so Adam, I've never been a fan of westerns per se. I'm a fan of and I played Red Dead. So I'm like, okay, this is why I love Rockstar. Like they do open world games better than anybody, like bar none. To me, they do the best ones, and Red Dead to me is a perfect example of why other open world games like pale in comparison. So you're right, Brian. If the open world game is good, you're gonna like it, or I'm gonna like it. So. You know, I think most of them, like you said, are just bad, you know, or boring. You know, Days Gone is okay, but it's like, but you're right. I didn't think about that. If that game would have came out 5 years ago, it would have been fucking amazing. Seeing that shit, you would have been blown away. But now it's like, I've played this shit already, you know? What is Days Gone? It's a bigger Dying Light, just in third person. You know? Come on. Without the parkour, obviously.
So then, isn't it just The Last of Us then? If you take that out,
it's an open world Last of Us
because
yeah.
It's all about it's got the crafting. It's just got more zombies that are faster.
But like Brian said, it has everything you've seen already. You know, so that's why people are like, But if it would have came out 5 years ago, it would have been fucking insane. You know,
yeah.
And again, another one, Horizon Zero Dawn. That game blew me the fuck away. It was crazy open world game. You know, so there's always exceptions to the rules, man. But I think most of them are just generic. Everybody's trying to rip off Ubisoft, you know. Even The Division 2, I like that open world. It's cool. Washington, D.C., you know, that's dope. I like that. It's just mainly me. I got sick of them. But then I'm also the reviewer, so I guess maybe that has... No, it doesn't. It's just... too many of them. Stop it. Oh, man. I think we're done here, man. I want to go watch Game of Thrones already. But here's our schedule here. So if you want to ask us questions for the upcoming episode, you join our Discord, right? Then on the Discord, you go to the Throw Down Your Questions section and submit your questions. Limit them to two. Again, I always want to give a shout-out to the Discord fam. They're always in there talking, providing me with the links for the show, which is very helpful on those dry ass weeks, you know. More ham specifically, he's always throwing stuff in there. And right now we, you know, speaking about Game of Thrones, we have our a little room for that, which Glorious Word's not happy, so he's going off in there, but I'll read that shit later after I've seen the episode. I know I'm gonna fucking be hot. Oh, I can't wait. When his lips is so good. You know? yeah, man, that's going to do it for us. So thank you for watching and listening. Leave us a questions in the Throwdown Discord server. We'll answer them on next week's show. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later, guys, and just a reminder, you know, because I'm just doing this at the beginning and the end of the show. We got a little contest rolling. If you go onto our Twitter, you can actually see, you know, how you can win. So you know, we're going to be giving away a copy of Excellence, my comic book that just released from Skybound and Image Comics, as well as a really cool poster from my comic of our main character, Spencer.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, and good luck to everyone who's entered already.
Awesome. Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Adam Vale.
Have a good week, people.
Brian Munjoma.
It's okay to punch Nazi, and the right wing are all Nazis. Can you punch Candice Owens with a clear conscience, while she's a woman of color?
Deep question, my friend. Deep question. All right, guys. Thank you for joining us once again. Everybody's giving us love in the chat right now. Appreciate it, as always. And we'll see you on Thursday, man. Remember, we got the contest going, so check out the video for all the links and all that. And good luck to everyone. All right. Later.
Later, guys. Peace. Later.